First of all, the Nyingma Pass. The name means simply the old ones. Nying is simply old. And it means, sometimes it's translated as the old style ones, or if you like, even the old fashioned ones. Some scholars render it as the traditionalists. We might even say the conservatives, if that didn't have certain connotations of its own, which we might wish to avoid. But there are several explanations of why the Nyingma Pas are so called. It's usually said that they are called Nyingma Pas, or old ones, because they follow the old translations of the tantras. In other words, those translations of the tantras which were made before the time of King Rinpoche, the third religious king. It's rather as though you might get, say, in this country, a group or a church which insisted on following only the authorized version of the Bible, ignoring the revised version and all the modern versions. It's a little bit like that. So the usual explanation which is given of this title, Nyingma Pa, or old style, or traditionalist person, is that the Nyingma Pas are so called because they follow these old translations of the tantras. The Nyingma Pas also regard the great Indian teacher, Padmasambhava, the lotus-born one, as their founder. You may remember that we heard last week how he came to Tibet, how he was invited to subdue the demons, these powerful occult forces which Shantarakshita, the scholar, wasn't able to bring under control. So the Nyingma Pas regard him, this great figure Padmasambhava, as the founder of their school. And their respect for him, their devotion to him, is such that they usually refer to him as the second Buddha. Traditionally, in the Nyingma Pas school, Padmasambhava, the lotus-born guru, has eight principal forms or manifestations under which he appears in eight different regions of the world. And it's significant that Sakyamuni, the historical Buddha, Gautama the Buddha, is regarded by the Tibetan Nyingma Pas as simply one of these eight forms of Guru Padmasambhava. I remember that I used to visit sometimes in the Kalimpong and Darjeeling area Nyingma Pa temples. And it was quite interesting to see them because one could see at once their emphasis. These temples were usually three-storied. Why that should be so, I'll explain in a minute. But as soon as one entered, on the ground floor, you found an enormous image, usually many times larger than life, of the great guru Padmasambhava. Seated usually in royal robes with the lotus cap, the katvanga in the crook of his arm, the skull cup containing blood or nectar in his hand, and a vajra or thunderbolt in the other, and a rather fierce expression. You found him enshrined or enthroned in the central position, in the main shrine, downstairs on the ground floor. And usually you'd get his two consorts, one on either side, the Indian consort Mandarava to one side, the Tibetan consort Yeshe Tsogyel on the other side, and you'd have all round different frescoes and paintings and images, and just in a corner somewhere you'd find Gautama the Buddha, a very sort of minor figure in this pantheon. So this gives you some idea of the Nyingma Pa emphasis. For them, Guru Padmasambhava is everything in a way. He is the Buddha. He has become the embodiment of the Buddha ideal, not so much Shakyamuni, not so much Gautama the Buddha himself. Just for the sake of completeness, let me mention that if you climb up to the first floor, the next story of the temple, you'll find there a smaller image of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. If you climb right up to the top, to the second floor, you'll find in the shrine there an image of Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light. And this has a meaning. These three stories, ground floor, first and second floors, these represent, or these symbolize, the three bodies or three kayas of the Buddha. That is to say, starting from the bottom, the Nirmanakaya, then the Sambhogakaya, and then the Dharmakaya. So the Nirmalakaya is the manifested form, the historical aspect. The Sambhogakaya, on the next story, this is the archetypal aspect. And on the highest level of all, the Dharmakaya, this is the absolute aspect. So sometimes you find a rather interesting sort of development. You find that at the top, the Dharmakaya Buddha has a completely bare chapel. Huh? There are no frescoes, no paintings, no other images, just this one central figure of Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light. Because this is the level, as it were, of the highest reality. This is the level of the absolute. You might think it would be even better if it was just kept empty, but perhaps that would be a little too much for ordinary human nature. So they have at least the image or the figure of Amitabha. So in this way we get architecturally, in the architecture of the temple itself, a concrete embodiment of this very important Mahayana idea of the three kayas, the three bodies of the Buddha, or the three levels at which the Buddha exists, the enlightened person exists, the historical, the archetypal, and the absolute, or if you like, the divine. But this is by the way, and these particular figures are present. Padmasambhava, Avalokiteshvara, Amitabha are present in the Nyingmapa temple because, according to the Nyingmapa tradition, Padmasambhava, rather than Gautama the Buddha, is the principal Nirmanakaya, and Avalokiteshvara, in his form as Karsarpana, is the principal Sambhogakaya form, and Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, the principal Dharmakaya form. So when you enter a Nyingmapa temple, or in fact any Tibetan Buddhist temple which is constructed on traditional lines, you at once, by just glancing around and seeing the images and how they're arranged in these different stories, you can see, as it were, the whole theology or Buddhology laid out before you panoramically in this very concrete and very vivid form. Now, Padmasambhava, from all the accounts that have come down to us, he's also called, incidentally, Padmakara, and there are many other names, seems to have been a very many-sided character. He was a great scholar, a great dialectician. He often worsted the Brahmin scholars in debate. He was a great ascetic, spent much of his time in meditation. He was a great magician, according to legend, could perform all sorts of wonderful feats. He was a great yogi, a great sage, great teacher, great author. According to some accounts, also a great dancer. You can see he was very many-sided indeed. And in addition to this, especially according to Tibetan tradition, one of the greatest masters of the occult arts that the world has ever seen. And the Nyingmapa school, we may say, the whole Nyingmapa tradition reflects this many-sidedness of its founder, the great guru Padmasambhava. Incidentally, in popular parlance, he's always referred to as Guru Rinpoche. In Tibet, no one ever says Padmasambhava. It's considered a little disrespectful to use anyone's personal name. So they always say Guru Rinpoche, which means the great precious guru, or the great precious teacher.